No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. Today is May 20th. Another quality start by Mitch Keller on Monday, and the offense falls short. I don't want to ignore the fact that David Bednar also had a rough outing, and anytime you send Colin Holderman out after he's already came in, it's a recipe for absolute disaster. Stop doing it. If he comes in and he does fine, when the inning's over, so is his outing. It's the only way you're going to get through. Now, you could say, what's it matter? Well, it was only a 4-1 game. It was a 4-1 game. So there's something there. The Reds bullpen has been blowing games like that all year long. I know they haven't been pitching to this team, and this team's offense is what it is. Broken record. The offense is not getting the job done. Let's do some quick hits instead of venting about this thing for 10 minutes, okay? Reynolds is, I guess, starting to show a little bit. Let's hope that it's the beginning of him starting to turn it around a little bit. I mean, we understand. We could say what we want all day long. It's like I'm a broken record saying this too. The players that are on this roster that are supposed to be the starters are not this, what we're seeing. They're not this bad. Not on paper. They're playing tremendously under their ceiling. And I'll conditionalize this once again. Their ceiling is probably only a 500 team. It's not like I'm trying to say, these guys should be in the mix for a playoff team. They're not that. They didn't build that in the offseason. They wasted their money and their time on a guy like Tommy Pham, who dropped another ball that literally landed in his glove. And it's not an error because of extra effort. I did bunny ears if you're not watching the video. That's not extra. I mean, like, that's terrible. It's so bad. It looked like he was just falling down. Should have been an error. Might still be an error. They might change that at some point. But that's all this is. Cruz and Horwitz out of the lineup against the lefty. Lodolo's very good against left-handers. I take no issue with this because Cruz is not 100%. We've seen that. And both guys really coming back from injuries. Cruz much smaller in the grand scheme of things. But they could be slow rolled here. Cruz has struck out all but one time he's been up to bat since he come off the bench. So, you know, it's hard to say throw him to the wolves. And I would consider Lodolo to be that. Lodolo is one of my, you know, if I'm picking favorites on the Reds, which, you know, Hunter Green's been unreal, but Lodolo's like that guy who hasn't quite clicked yet to be as good as he can be. Anyway, Horwitz probably won't be a platoon player he probably won't be a platoon player only this season for most of the season. I saw the comments like, I can't believe this is going to be a platoon player kind of thing. He's essentially still performing a rehab assignment, but doing it at this level, right? If there wasn't a 20-day limit on a rehab assignment, he probably could have spent another week down there. I would imagine they're going to ease him in. They brought the righty in. They're giving him the opportunity to succeed early in his tenure here. And I don't have a problem with that either. I think it's another way to get other people involved. Unfortunately, those other people, I guess it was Nick Solak who actually started at first base, but Triolo at second. So, you know, when you're given Triolo opportunities, I'm not sure how I feel about that, but either way, I just don't have a problem with it yet. Let's see how it goes as he gets his legs underneath him and gets a little run and see if he gets to start. I mean, I don't know if Lodolo's quite like, there are guys who are, when you say like Chris Sale, that you might say, oh, perfect, I didn't turn that off. There are guys like Chris Sale who you might say like, this is a lefty who we're going to sit some guys tonight. They need days off anyway. You may as well give them a day off where they almost don't have a shot. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys like that. I don't know if Lodolo's there against lefties right now, but he's definitely very good against lefties. 6 innings for him, 7 Ks. He's got a 3.22 ERA right now. I mean, he's not a slouch. He's very good. This offense is also bad and probably aided that quite a bit. The bunt seems to be a part of this offense. They were bunt free on Monday night. But this was something that I was really thinking about all weekend, and Jake and I did not get to that point. We really weren't talking about it. It wasn't on our list, but it was. I put it on my list for today to talk about, and then of course they didn't bunt. However, looking it up over the weekend and everything, what I have is the Pirates have bunted 10 times this year, which is the bottom third of the league. However, they've bunted 6 times since Donnie Kelly took over, and that's the most since that day. Thing is, we remember the Triolo pop out, but I think, let me look at my notes here. It says 4 out of 5 times in that scenario, they moved runners up and did their job. That's not bad. There's also a Jiwon Bae bunt for a base hit that's thrown in there, which is a different situation. There was nobody on base. But I'll account for all of them. The very first one, Triolo popped out, not effective. The second one, Hayes bunts Davis to third. Davis was thrown out of home on the next play. Triolo then bunted Canario to third, and he does not score. Strikeout, and I think a ground out. And then in a different game, Davis bunts Bae to third, Triolo to second. Good there. Bae ends up scoring, so we get a run out of it. Reynolds hits into a double play. We only get one run out of it. Bae bunted for a base hit. Triolo hit a 2-run homer. Doesn't count in the sacrifice category. It was a bunt. I'm accounting for it. He did score, but in the sacrifice world, we got one run so far. And the last one, Frazier fails to bunt Hayes to third. Hayes gets thrown out. So now you have Canario at second and Frazier at first, and IKF hits into a double play. So I said 4 of 5. That's 3 of 5. Because the last one, Frazier failed to do it. So they've gotten one run in sacrifice bunts since Don Kelly took over. You could say like the bunt was successful, but what happened after the bunt wasn't. It kind of makes you wonder what would you have done had you not given up an out, which is what that is. And this is why people don't bunt as much anymore, even though, like I said, I mean, the Brewers have bunted like over 20 times. So the other thing about it is in all of those games, there were 3 games there. Bae bunt for a base hit. They won that game 4-0. In the other 3 games that they bunted, and remember there was 3 in one game, In those other three games, they lost those games by one run. And they even scored a run in one of them, lost by one run. Had they not given that free out, it does kind of make you wonder what would have happened the rest of the way if you swing away. Maybe nothing. Maybe they still can't hit. But we know that when you do the sacrifice bunt, you may increase your chances. If you do it early, if you may increase your chances of scoring one run, but you severely decrease your chances of scoring two. Which is why, for me, listen, I'm not sold on the bunts yet. I'm not against them yet. There's more data to be pulled. They're not doing, I mean, they're, you know what I'm saying? There's other teams doing it a lot. Not a lot, a lot in comparison. But in today's game, it's different. I was a bunt guy. Like I had the green light to bunt for base hit whenever I wanted to. Now, even if I was bunting for a sacrifice, I was trying to get on base. I could run. So I would bunt to get on base so long as it didn't impact getting the guy to either second or third. Bonus if I'm safe. And I could bunt. And I liked the bunt. I think it's different. Like, we're talking high school baseball, man. I didn't bunt beyond that. I didn't, you know what I mean? You don't do that much. But you have mistakes. You have, you know, an opportunity. Like, we had a good team that could move guys. Major leagues is different, man. Giving them an out is not a good idea in most cases. If it's a tie game and it's the ninth or later and you're the home team, bunt. Because you only need one run. In any other situation, I just don't think I like it. Try to score two or three. Don't give them an out. You only get three of them. The verdict is still out. We'll see. But the offense is so bad right now that I don't know that you're going to get accurate numbers anyway, no matter what you do. Let's shift gears. I had a couple thoughts about the Jared Jones stuff that we talked about. Obviously, the news came out this weekend. Jake and I talked about it. A little bit last night, and I couldn't help but think a little bit more through this and as I was going here. But Jones was on the active roster at opening day last year. He earned an entire year of service. He'll spend this whole year probably on the injured list and acquire another year of service. And then he'll spend just about all of 2026 on the injured list, if not all of it, depending on everything that goes on, and he'll acquire another year of service. He's going to be getting paid arbitration money the next time he pitches for the Pirates, most likely. There was talk about trading him this offseason. Didn't happen. Probably still a smart move. Hindsight's 20/20, right? But you probably still a smart move to keep a hold of him and try to go into this season with him and building a strength there. But you could say, let's see, free agent 2030. So you've got him 27, 8, and 9. It's easy to say, like, he's probably needs traded before the 29 season with a year left, maybe before the 28 season with 2 years left if you can get even a bigger haul if he's lights out in 2027. But this sort of thing, the injury alone, could result in Jared Jones not pitching for the Pirates again. You think back at JT Brubaker being traded to the Yankees prior to coming off the IL after Tommy John. He pitched in 2022, the last time in the majors. Surgery in 2023, traded in March of 2024 before he came back. He threw 16 innings in 24, and so far he's only thrown 3 innings this year. And those are all minor league innings. Those are not major league innings yet. They acquired Kiner Delgado in this trade. It's nothing. Now, I think that even though it's less time, you get a little more value from Jared Jones. Probably gets more than that, but you don't know how much more. But this looks like, if you're thinking the same timeline as maybe a Brubaker, it's March of 26. You're dealing. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that's they're going to follow the same timeline and that's what they're going to do it, but I could see if, you know, a new GM comes in this offseason, he may see this as an opportunity. If you want to make a move and you're maybe trying to acquire a bat and you're offering someone would Jared Jones be a guy that you could add to that to sweeten the deal to possibly bring another bat or a more impact bat to send a guy like Jones along with somebody else in a deal? And that might be the thing that just puts it over the edge to say, listen, I want the real deal. I want that guy, whether it's an extra top 10 prospect or it's a guy who's already thumping in the league or whatever, and you want to add him to the middle of this order. You can't get that with one guy or maybe a couple minor leaguers. But if you throw in Jared Jones, maybe that's enough. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to tell the future, but it is now possible we may never see Skeens, Jones, and Chandler in the same rotation. It's just something I was thinking about. I don't know. I don't know how they'll handle this. Obviously, we don't even know who I'm saying this, right? I'm speaking this into existence as if Ben Cherington will not be the manager that would make a move like this because they'll be hiring a new one. And we don't know who that is yet. Now, that's also not a guarantee, but we're kind of acting like we think that's the way it's going to go. Tough game Monday night. It was a game. The offense not the starting pitching made it a game. Mitch Keller. But it stopped there. Ferguson, good too. And then the wheels just fell off in the eighth and ninth inning. And you know, the score was 7-1, but it didn't feel like that until late. But I'll tell you what, we haven't seen the team. We haven't seen the Pirates, not from my seat. We haven't seen them play as lifeless as they played tonight. I'm sorry. This is a morning show. This comes out to Tuesday. As lifeless as they played Monday night, last night, since Derek Shelton was the manager. We haven't seen what we just saw since Derek Shelton was the manager. There's been life. There's been, you know, coming up short, but there's been, you could say, fight. But like I said, they're still coming up short. I'm not saying that they've pushed over the edge of anything, but it has felt like maybe it's coming. And tonight maybe felt like a big step back. A lifeless offense, a lifeless crowd at the stadium. Everything was lifeless. And we haven't seen that since Derek Shelton was the manager. And all it took was one sweep of a really good Phillies team on the road. That kind of thing is going to happen. That shouldn't have spiraled this thing down to that point. But it's compiled on top of the first 38 games. And there are fans who won't be able to separate those games from the rest of the season. And there are players who are responsible for those first 38 games who will not be able to separate those games from the rest of the season. But in baseball, you have to remove them. That's how you play the game of baseball. This game that they just played last night is gone and over with, and you start fresh on Tuesday. That's literally the mentality of this game and somewhat the beauty of it. You've got a job. That job is to win today's game, regardless of what happened before, regardless of how you will play the rest of the year. They know what this roster is. They know who's on this team. They know where they're not going. But it doesn't matter. You win today's game. That's baseball. That's why you can enjoy it. But when they're lifeless, it's hard to enjoy. When it just feels like there's no shot, which, like I said, I haven't felt like that since Derek Shelton was the manager. There has been some sort of, I mean, there have been some games where you're like, oh yeah, well, I don't think they're going to score that. You know what I mean? But the point is going into a game, but this rotation, you just wonder, what day are they going to snap out and break through? It's going to happen. They're not going to go the rest of the year and not score five or more runs. They will break through at some point. But tonight didn't feel like that. Sorry. Here we go again. Last night did not feel like that. And if you're a successful baseball team player slash whatever, you forget that and you focus on winning today's game and that's it. You know what's good about a Tuesday? It's not a Monday. Don't let a baseball team ruin your mood. Take a deep breath. Enjoy your Tuesday, guys. Thanks for listening again. Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Subscribing to your platform of choice is the best way to be notified for new episodes. And now, new episodes every weekday. Remember, live shows with my dad and Uncle Jake are Sundays at 9 p.m. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and join them in the live chat every Sunday. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.